From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. House lawmakers are still working into the night, going through line items in the spending plan for the current fiscal year. Republicans are looking for $61 billion in cuts. A temporary spending bill expires on March 4th. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker is challenging Senate Democrats to deal with his anti-union proposal. 14 lawmakers fled the state rather than vote on a plan that would also cut pension and health benefits. Walker vowed not to back down despite protests for days this week outside the Capitol.
The folks outside have every right to be heard, but there's 5.5 million people in this state, and certainly the taxpayers of this state have every right to be heard. We're not going to allow for 1 minute the protesters to feel like they can drown out the voices of those millions of taxpayers all across the state of Wisconsin.
Walker calls his proposal a bold political move, but a reasonable request, he says, for keeping the state from going broke. Some members of the conservative Tea Party movement say they support him and plan to hold a rally at the Capitol on Saturday. President Obama is condemning the violence in Bahrain, telling the country's king in a Friday night phone call to show restraint. New York Times correspondent Michael Slackman describes being in a crowd attacked by police following a funeral for pro-democracy protesters killed on Thursday.
When the ceremony was over, the whole group was heading back to the village away from the cemetery. As the crowd moved on, a lot of the people peeled off, and they just began to approach the intersection where they would enter the square, and the army opened fire on them. Young men just fell to the ground in blood. There was firing from a helicopter overhead. There was firing from snipers in a building nearby, and then the soldiers came out into the road and began firing directly into the crowd. At one point, young men who had survived the assault by the army and stayed behind got down on their knees to pray, and the army opened fire on them again.
New York Times correspondent Michael Slackman. Bahrain's king is offering a national dialogue with all parties, but the main Shiite bloc already says it's not interested. NASA plans to launch the last mission of the space shuttle Discovery next week after a four-month delay. Cracks in the external fuel tanks led to the delays. Launch integration manager for the shuttle program, Mike Moses, says at first, scientists didn't make the connection between the cracks and other problems with foam insulation.
We didn't recognize that a single crack would then lead to foam, could lead to foam being pushed out of place, which would then lead it to it liberating and become an integrated hazard and debris concern.
Discovery is set to lift off Thursday afternoon from Cape Canaveral, Florida. The shuttle will carry six astronauts and a humanoid robot to the International Space Station. Wall Street closed out the week following a string of gains. The Dow rose 73 points. The Nasdaq added two. This is NPR News. The opposition party in Uganda is threatening street demonstrations to protest what it is calling an unfair election on Friday. Incumbent President Yoweri Museveni is seeking a fifth term. He's being challenged by his arch-rival Kizza Besigye, who says Uganda is ripe for an Egypt-type uprising. President Museveni says opposition demonstrators will be thrown in jail. The Basketball Hall of Fame's nominees for induction include players Chris Mullin and Dennis Rodman, as well as former coach Dick Motta. But NPR's Mike Pesca says one former player left off the list may have been the most deserving of all.
Dennis Rodman was a great rebounder but could barely score. Maurice Cheeks was part of many great teams but rarely the best player on the floor. Jamal Wilkes, Chris Mullin, and Ralph Sampson were all good pro players and great college players. And in the Basketball Hall of Fame's balloting procedures, college greatness is taken into consideration. But none of these players had the impact and point totals of Reggie Miller, former Indianapolis Pacer and UCLA great, who was left off the ballot. Miller is the 14th highest scoring player in NBA history. Every other eligible player in the top 35 is already in the hall. The hall's 24 voters do not reveal their votes. In fact, the voters' identities are unknown. Mike Pesca, NPR News.
A spokeswoman for Boston's Logan International Airport says two JetBlue planes have landed safely after being struck by lightning. One flight was from Tampa, the other from Baltimore. They landed about a half hour apart. Actress Elizabeth Taylor remains hospitalized in Los Angeles, but her spokesman says her health is improving. Spokesman says the 78-year-old Oscar winner has continued to show great improvement, and her family and friends are very pleased. This is NPR News.